You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
TMZ, oh my goodness.
I think he's the philosopher of football.
I'd like to have some more derbies.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory. We're trying to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS Studios in Midtown Manhattan. I'm Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Susanna Collins, David Goss, Bobby Warshaw. Happy, three days before Decision Day presented by AT&T, guys. Just 3 days. It didn't have a good ring to it. Also, happy birthday, Zlatan. It's his 38th birthday today.
38.
And his gift is Decision Day, presented by AT&T. Going down on Sunday, all the games at 4 p.m. Eastern, 12 matches at one time. We will learn who the final playoff team is and much, much more. We have so much to talk about. We have our All Chaos 11, the new WHO All-Stars. But first, what is Zlatan's birthday party like, Dave, and what are you going to get him? Like Robbie Keane, I know what Robbie Keane's birthday party is.
Everyone
like.
Everyone just shows up and chants
yelling
Robbie
his
Robbie
name,
Keane,
pounding brewskis.
Sure.
I'm not sure.
I can't imagine what a social experience is like around Zlatan. In fairness, I've been around him like twice, and he's like the nicest human being. But it feels like you'd be on eggshells the whole time because you have no idea what he's going to do. And then once he does the thing you don't know he's going to do, then he's physically capable of doing anything he wants to do. So it feels like it would kind of be like an awkward, everyone stands around the side and just like mutters quietly to each other. And then when Zlatan starts a convo, everyone's like, ah! Yay, great story, Zlatan. But I could be wrong.
I think he goes all out. I mean, we saw his announcement, right, with the lion. I think he brings in like a whole zoo, you know? Mm. Like it's just
he has them actually fed to the lion, though.
Fireworks display. Oh. He makes everyone come dressed as Zlatan. It's just like, you know.
I heard, though, his wife really keeps him in check. Like she doesn't allow any sort of over-the-top Zlatanism in the house. Like there's only one picture of Zlatan in the home. That's all she allows.
I
so maybe she, like, keeps him, you know, she's like, you get one cake. We get the two candles on top, the letters, the 3-8,
like
you blow it out.
I would
you
love Zlatan.
I like this scale.
I would love Zlatan to come home on his birthday and be like, it's Zlatan's birthday. And she's like, all right, don't be dramatic. You were born that day. It's not like you did anything.
Yeah. Oh, big deal.
Do you think he's one of these guys that's like, no, it's my birthday month?
Yeah.
Now people are
birthday
like,
Brad?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Just say it.
Bobby does not like this bit. Bobby, are you a birthday month person? Do you make a big deal out of your birthday? And once you answer this, I promise we'll talk soccer.
We talk about Zlatan so much on the show. We need to do this too.
Are you a
thing we had to do?
I'm
a huge birthday person. I love birthdays. Yeah. Birthdays are phenomenal.
Okay.
I just didn't need to talk about
When's
Zlatan's
your birthday?
Birthday.
Come on.
Next month.
Ooh.
Whoa. When is it?
I'm just saying the month starts in 3 weeks.
Okay. When is it? Happy almost
the birthday month.
November 7th.
No, close enough.
November 10th.
You're a Gemini.
My ex-girlfriend's birthday, though.
Oh,
wow.
That.
Great.
Wow.
I've been trying to forget
and,
that.
And on that note,
that's such a birthday breath comment.
Decision Day, presented by AT&T, the final week of the MLS regular season on Sunday. All 12 matches, like I said, at 4 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be hard to watch them all. Extremely difficult. You can watch one in its entirety on ESPN. That is the Portland Timbers hosting the San Jose Earthquakes. One of the big decisions is whether either of those teams will get into the playoffs. It seems likely that one will. Will both? We shall see. The 11 other broadcasts you can watch on ESPN Plus or wherever it is regionally for you as well. They also have ESPN Plus, a MLS Decision Day presented by AT&T Whip Around Show. And I believe that is Adrian Healy, Brian Dunseth, and
Alejandro Moreno.
Yeah, Ale Moreno on that one.
What up,
so,
Ali?
You can watch that one. They'll jump you around. They'll talk about all the games, go to whatever exciting. And also, you have a pregame show, Match Day Central. 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern, MLS channels, MLSsoccer.com, the app, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Myself, Kalen, Charlie Davies, Matt Doyle, and Jimmy Conrad here in the studio. Everybody everywhere else, right? Where are you going to be, Dave?
Atlanta, New England.
All right, Bobby, where are you at?
Philadelphia, NYC.
Susanna?
Dallas, Kansas City.
And we have someone in literally every single market. So, Match Day Central, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. It's the pregame show presented by AT&T. We got the postgame show at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And oh, by the way, in the pregame, it's the draft of drafts, the expansion priority draft between Nashville SC and Inter Miami CF. They're going to figure out who gets priority and, you know, the expansion draft.
Are you flipping the coin for this?
I don't get to flip the coin.
I had to do it like
you
2 years ago.
It?
Yes, it was when Atlanta and Minnesota were coming
in. You flipped the coin.
And it was one of the most like stressful experiences.
Who won, though?
Of my,
who won?
Of Atlanta.
Well, Atlanta won.
That shows how important it is.
Exactly.
This stuff matters.
Like,
it's
huge. Susanna.
Yeah. Oh, whoa, whoa. No accusations here,
conspiracy
please.
Theory.
Don't say the word. Don't say the word. Anyway, they will flip a
this
coin.
This is who Adrian Heath's been talking about the whole time.
Wow.
She's been questioning them and doubting them since day
Guilty.
One.
Guilty.
With the coin
then
flip.
The prediction was just like the wallpaper on top of the rot
for sure.
Behind. The three things they're going for, basically. It's the expansion draft first pick, the super draft first pick, and the allocation order number one spot. Atlanta used their spot in the allocation order on Brad Guzan. Atlanta traded the top spot in the expansion draft for a draft pick that turned into Julian Gressel. And in the super draft,
that's
Minnesota.
What you did WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. And the super draft.
You're welcome.
Abu Dunlady to Minnesota. By the way, the second pick was Miles Robinson. So it's not that big a deal. If you don't win the coin flip, you just get the second pick. So it's still pretty good. But,
I have a guarantee
that
Abu Dunlady will be an MLS All-Star or play at a higher level in another league in his career. Feels like that one's slipping.
Yeah, that one's slipping away right now. Also, Audi 2019 MLS Cup Bracket Challenge is open, so go get that in. There's some sweet prizes. You get a 2020 season ticket package, maybe. $500 to the MLS store. Audi VIP driving package. So we will do more of that on this show once the field is set. Let's get to it. The decision. Number one of five on Decision Day, presented by AT&T. Who gets in from the West? We know in the East, New England sealed that spot. But in the West, there are two spots to go. San Jose, Portland, FC Dallas, and Colorado are battling for it. We've talked about this over and over and over and over and over in the last month because the likes of San Jose, Portland, and Dallas have just like ran through a field of banana peels and just bashed their face into the ground over and over and over in their attempt to qualify for the Audi MLS Cup playoffs.
It's been
not so great. I will give you the last five games for each of these teams. For Portland, no wins, two losses, three draws. For San Jose, literally nothing but losses, five straight losses. For Dallas, they started with the win, and then they lost, and they draw twice, and then they lost again. Colorado, though, have five wins in their last six games. And here's what it would take for the Raptors to
get in. Why are you talking about Colorado, Andrew? Aren't they way out of it?
Oh, no. Guess what? They're not, Dave.
What?
If they win against LAFC and Dallas lose and San Jose lose to Portland, boom, the Raptors are in. We get more Tim Howard. His career is not over. And we get the third best team for the last 22 games in Major League Soccer. The only two teams with better records are LAFC on 45 points and NYCFC on 43 points. The Colorado Rapids, 12 wins in that time and 40 points. And boy, had they not lost in Toronto in that wild game, this might be a different conversation. Now, even if Dallas and San Jose both don't lose, let's say San Jose tie against Portland. Well, then Colorado has to win by three or more goals against LAFC, which
easy
on the road. LAFC won the Shield, maybe nothing to play for. Dallas, meanwhile, if they win against Sporting KC, they're in. Portland, if they win or tie against San Jose, they're in. San Jose, if they win against Portland, they're in. Those are the simple scenarios. Go to MLSsoccer.com for the rest of it. 538 says less than 1% chance for the Rapids to make the playoffs. So you're saying there's a chance. How's this going to go down, Bobby? How might this go down? How might suspensions influence all this? Because I see Brian Fernandez out for Portland. Mm-hmm. I see Tommy Thompson out for San Jose. I see Roger and Ilya out for Kansas City.
Okay, so let's start at the top. Let's start with Portland hosting San Jose, the game that is on ESPN. You would think that the Timbers at home, when the Timbers are at home, they're the favorite, right? I agree with that logic, except that I have watched these teams play over the last 2 months. And even though the Earthquakes have lost 8 of their last 10 games, they have still been a very good team. They have been a better team than the Portland Timbers. So I will take the San Jose Earthquakes to go into Portland and get a win. I'm not going to guarantee it,
right,
but off their form and the way they've been playing, the Quakes have been the better team.
Can I ask you how this plays out? Because Portland, God knows how they will approach this thing without Brian Fernandez, without results at home, which they haven't gotten, frankly, for a while now, better part of 2 months. And then San Jose seem kind of tired, but you figure they'll stick with it. They're Mateus Almeida's team. It's man-to-man. What does this game look like on the field? Is it just cagey? Is it both teams just like
no, stomachs
roiling, we can't make a mistake? Or is it just helter-skelter?
Well, the San Jose Earthquakes are one of the top three, I don't know where exactly they are, possession teams. They have the most possession per game in the league. I don't expect that to change. I would expect the Earthquakes to go to Providence Park and dominate the ball and dominate the game. If you're the Timbers, that's a good thing. That's what the Timbers want. We learned this year, we learned last year, this is not a team that wants the ball. They made it to MLS Cup playing the way that they can or that they will be able to and should play in that last game. With the other team having the ball, they sit at midfield, they catch them on the counter. So there's definitely a way for them to win this game, but I would still take the Quakes.
I would be fascinated, and I don't think it's going to happen, to see, though, no Fernandez. What do you do at that center forward position? to put Valerian as a false nine. Because one of the things with playing a Bobasie was he helped set up Fernandez, but Fernandez is not available for this game. Valeri hasn't been starting, but we've seen San Jose, when they play against a false nine and someone vacates that center forward position, they follow them, and that's where you create space and create openings. So that would be interesting to, for me, if Gio Savarese went with something bold, because he's been the entire time, and you mentioned the results, the entire time has been, we're a tweak here or there away. We're just a little quicker in our passing patterns, a little quicker off our first touch away, which has not been true. Or it's been true for the entire season and they just can't get over it. It's one of the two.
Valeri, maybe his final game, Susanna, in Portland.
Whoa.
Very, very likely his final game. He's been going around to the Capo stand saying goodbye. He's been tweeting out, and I was now told and corrected by someone in my DMs, that picture we were talking about where I was like, yeah, he's playing the piano. No, that he wasn't playing the piano. That was him, after his first ever goal in Portland, acting like he was sending an email back to his family in Argentina. So this man is... he's interwoven with the culture of the club, with the culture of the city. Frankly, the culture of two clubs with Connie and the Thorns and the way that that family supported them. He may not be back. He may not be back. If this is it.
It's just, I mean, you're sending me into a dark, dark place, Andrew. This, it's, oh, say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. I have adored watching Diego Valeri play. And I believe that Portland are going to win this game. I do. And I just, because this could be the swan song for him, I want them to do it for him. I just want to see more of him. I want to savor these last few moments of Diego Valeri, because we've been very lucky to get to watch him in Major League Soccer. And so for that reason alone, I'm saying that Portland are going to win. They're going to be in the postseason, and we're going to send him off in the right fashion.
All they need is a draw, too.
Just a draw.
And this, even if they do make the postseason, it still might be Diego Valeri's final game in the Rose City. We will see how they remember him, if they have a TIFO for him, if it's just, as emotional as that was the entirety of the 90 minutes.
Can we add some flavor to that conversation,
sure,
by the way, that we
it.
Have to talk about? It was reported, I think by Jamie Goldberg, that Sebastian Blanco got an extension on his contract, multi-year, somewhere around the 1.3 million, it looked like. She said 800,000 shy of 2 million, I believe, was her report. I mean, that's money that could have gone exactly to Diego Valeri.
It still could go to Diego Valeri, because that is TAM money under the current rules of the CBA.
For sure. But Diego Valeri, by all accounts, is an incredible human being. I don't know what human being could be in the middle of a contract dispute, see somebody else get money that could have been allocated to them, and not have that hit them a little bit.
I love Diego Valeri as much as you do, not as much as Portland Timbers fans do. My dad loves him. I think the world of him. I hope that they find this solution. I also wonder why it was that Portland did not publicize that extension with Sebastian Blanco. You know those two are going to talk to each other. Come on, it's not like it's going to be a mystery.
Sure, but also, if you're an adult and you're Diego Valeri, you're 33 years old, Blanco's 31. He just got a 2-year extension.
Yeah. And
he's
going to
be,
and
Blanco, he's not getting paid big time at the end of that one.
Yeah.
The same
right.
as you're not getting paid big time
you
today.
You are speaking logically. As a human being, getting your own money to feed your own family is not a logical act.
Yeah, but Latrell Sprewell, relax for a second, okay? He has enough for rent this month. It's the next contract. I understand. You're an athlete. You have a certain amount of time.
Oh,
left.
Boy.
But we're talking about differences between 500,000 and 1.2 million. We're not talking the difference between 2,000 and 3,000.
I've honestly never been called Latrell Sprewell
yeah,
before.
Sure. You'd be so lucky, dude. Yeah. Knicks legend.
Thanks. If you start
That's
choking Dave here, I'll know what's going on. We'll see what happens with the Timbers in San Jose. You can watch that one on ESPN. Dallas are trying to get this thing done, too, and they're fortunate because they're really good at home, and Roger is out and Ilya is out for Sporting Kansas City, and Kansas City don't have anything to play for other than Peter Vermees not pushing them out the door if they don't try.
And
he
ruining
will do
FC Dallas Day,
exactly,
because that feels
yeah.
like an SKC thing.
Yeah.
Too.
Would be nice. Anything from that game that catches your fancy? Dallas just got to win. They can also draw. If San Jose lose or tie, they would be in. Or if San Jose lose and Colorado lose or draw, then they're in. They could technically lose this game and still get in.
The only thing we should point out is that SKC is not an easy game. Even though they have not won in over a month, they gave Portland all they could handle. They gave Minnesota all they could handle. They probably should have won both of those games. So this is not an easy game for FC Dallas at home.
It'll be interesting because Dallas has been a lot better at home because they play higher up the field when they play at home. They get more possession, and when they lose that possession, they press a little bit quicker, a little bit higher, and we know KC will try and play through that. So I think for Dallas, this is best case scenario because it gives them an opportunity to create chances off the press. You know Cobra is going to start, and I don't think he starts on the road as much because he doesn't do a whole lot of work defensively. So I think set up for Dallas, this is all you could ask for. And let's have this conversation now real quick before it ends. If they lose this game, it was a good season for them. They were not supposed to be a postseason team. Lucha Gonzalez's first year, they're resetting the roster from what it was under Pareja. They've brought a lot of young players in who have shown they can play in MLS. They still have pieces they need to add veteran-wise or change the ones maybe that they have in some spots. You think of the wingers and maybe center forward. But for what 2019 was supposed to be when Lucha Gonzalez got presented and we spoke here on this show, I think this is alive the last day of the week hosting a team to win and go into the postseason. That's as good as you could ask for.
Yeah, Cobra, I know the goals have come lately, but that has been a miss.
Yeah, he's a Czech Republic international now.
I know. He got called in. Edwin Giassi's a Ghana international, and he hasn't even gotten the 18 for like a month and a half. That was the big signing in the summer. So there are some question marks for them. How about this? Just for entertainment value, 6th and 7th seed. The only way Colorado can get in and give us that entertainment is if Portland gets in. That's the only way. What is the best entertainment 6th and 7th seed? Who do you want to see in the Audi MLS Cup playoffs against either Minnesota, Seattle, the Galaxy, or RSL in that first round? What do you want to see? Because if you say San Jose, Bobby, then you're not saying the Rapids. And the Rapids, as I said.
Wait, well, yes, I can. You can. The Rapids can win.
No. San Jose can't get in with the Rapids.
Mm-mm. It's Portland is the only way. That's the only way. Yeah,
Portland could draw. San Jose would still get knocked out.
Well, you know, you didn't ask what I think will happen. You asked for what would be the most fun.
Correct. Because, come on, predicting Major League Soccer, we're not.
I don't know.
No idiots. A bunch of
who would do that? Who would do that?
It's hard because the Rapids going to LAFC and winning would be incredible. But
well, they don't have to do that.
The Rapids have to win at LAFC.
Oh, you're saying at the end of the regular season.
Right now.
I thought you meant in the postseason.
Yeah.
No, right now.
Yeah.
But that Earthquakes Timbers game as a whole will be bonkers because LAFC don't really care that much. They won't be scrambling that much to get the result back. If the Quakes are leading Portland at the end of that game.
Have you met Bob Bradley? Have you talked to him?
You're right. But it won't be as crazy as Portland. Portland, San Jose, if the Earthquakes are winning with 10 minutes left, will be incredible.
Fair.
Well, it'll be absolutely like San Jose minute. What was the 3-3 game when San Jose won under Chris Leitch to get the
I think
playoffs?
It was Minnesota.
Yeah, and they scored like two and
when Dallas 90th. Got their hearts broken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Oscar Pareja was interviewed afterwards, and it looked like he was very close to tears, understandably so. So I'm going to say it's Portland, Colorado, because I want to see the Rapids. They're the best team of these four in the last 22 games. I want to see them in the playoffs. Portland has not earned it based on their home form. Just straight up.
Can I ask a Bobby Warshaw question?
Stupid or not, go.
Do you think Robin Fraser would be happy if they made the postseason? My wording of that means, does it make his job harder because next year the expectations from a team he didn't have time to build and put together is, well, you're a postseason team.
Shouldn't that be the expectation for them?
I don't know.
We're going to get to this in the mailbag. So we can re-examine this. Cool. Buy or sell non-playoff
Everyone,
teams. We will include the Rapids in
talk
that
amongst
conversation.
Themselves. Let it simmer.
Let's do LAFC now, because that's another decision that's going to happen on Decision Day presented by AT&T. Can they break the all-time points record? They are on 69 points, which is very nice, but it's not the best ever. You know that is 71 points by the Red Bulls last year.
He's talking to me off camera, and I don't know what he's saying.
I know. He makes things difficult.
I never know what he's doing back there.
Atlanta United had 70 points last year, which was also a record, but not the ultimate record because the Red Bulls got that. But they got the ultimate prize, which was MLS Cup. So maybe this doesn't matter, but probably it does because it's Bob Bradley and he set out to prove something with LAFC. He set out to prove something this year. Does Bob Bradley care about this record, Susanna?
Yeah.
Should he care about it?
Yeah, of course he does. You said it. It's Bob Bradley. He wants to win every game. This is not a guy that's going to approach this game like, we can kind of sit back. And that is not how that man is wired. So they want this record. I fully expect them to go out there and get it done.
And
they
that
should.
Would mean that my Rapids dreams would die. And I'm just sitting here internally.
I would love
a gnat.
Colorado would be fun as heck to see in the playoffs, but I don't see.
Odds are not with them.
1%.
I wish you had a Bob Bradley impression. I'm just going to say that.
What trophy do you guys care about the most as individuals? Is it the Golden Boot? Is it the all-time goals record? Is it
so outside of MLS Cup?
It's not
so
which
Shield
matters
is
the most. I can acknowledge that. Supporter Shield is the record I care about the most. I think that would be the coolest one to have as a professional. and it's the one I care about most watching. Yet, MLS Cup might still be the more important trophy. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, yeah.
So I would answer Supporter Shield is my favorite. To have that record for most points in a single season is my favorite MLS record.
I think if you're on the team, and of course I can't speak to this, but I think on the team, that one would maybe be the most like internally rewarding from the sense of from preseason until this moment, we put together 10 incredible months. And you have all these great moments along the way, whether it's all the pictures you see in road locker rooms, because you got to win road games to do it, or whatever else. But personally, MLS Cup is the number one for me.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking about which record. I care the most about that single season points record.
Points versus goals. Yeah.
Is it the
it's points. It's got to be points.
You care
right?
about that more than goals, yeah, more than all time goals.
You guys are
goals.
Such team guys. I want all the glory. Give me the goals. Give me the goals. I want my name.
Goals?
Long after LAFC has been forgotten, yeah. You want to be strutting around, be like, "Oh, I'm Susanna Collins,
yeah,
the goal king."
Yeah. Get Roy Lassiter in the
Queen,
news.
Sorry,
yeah, hello.
15 years after, that's a good probably point. Would have.
What would you want?
I don't even understand the premise of the question. So I'll just
okay. How about this? How might this break affect LAFC?
This I have something to say.
Yeah, how might this break? Because look, no matter what Bob Bradley does, if he goes forward and Carlos Vela plays, and we'll get to the goals in a second, how much that matters for Carlos Vela. No matter what, LAFC are going to sit around from October 6th to either October 23rd or 24th. They're going to sit around for 2.5 weeks. They're going to let a whole international break go by. They're going to have people leave for said international break. Those players are going to come back. Those players are going to have a full week to train again with LAFC, and then they're going to play a game. You would think, and maybe this is just the layman in me, that might throw off a team's rhythm. And remember, Bob Bradley did say that it threw off his midfield's rhythm. Mm-hmm. At one point this season, how much does this matter? Is this a blow to their advantage?
No.
In finishing first?
No, I don't think so. I think that if there was one coach in Major League Soccer that you were to say you get 2.5 weeks to keep your guys motivated, to be locked in, and to make them better, it's Bob Bradley. One, it actually lets him reset at time in a little way and get back to what made them good. Two, they came out of the season both last year and this year flying, so you know that this team's going to be motivated. I think he's creative enough and intelligent enough as a coach to challenge them throughout training and make them do different things to fight against each other, to work hard, to still have that intensity level. But he's the best coach in the league for a reason. He's got these guys locked in. They believe in everything he says because he believes in them, and every time they do what he says, they perform better, and they get more awards. They get all-stars. They get goals, records. And so I think right now, maybe next year is different and 2 years different. Right now, this team is on everything Bob Bradley's doing, and he's the smartest coach in the league, both in training and the way he likes to plan for games, that this team won't be affected by this. Atlanta United last year, they wanted to get to the games. They were good enough. They knew they should win. They just wanted to get to the games. They didn't want to get to training. I think this LAFC group is completely different, and that's why they're perfectly geared for the way it's set up.
Does it matter, Bobby, that they won't have games together, though? And also, can we just say that he and John Thorrington and everybody involved in that club are going to be watching the international break and just praying, just hoping and praying that there is not an injury, a knock, nothing to any of these players?
For sure. I never felt like the lack of a game mattered, because you still play 11v11 in training, maybe against yourselves, maybe against a local club, maybe against your academy team. You get that experience. The weird part is having more energy, because you will get 2 or 3 days off. You won't have the 90 minutes of a full MLS game. So to go into any match as a professional feeling fully energized is a really, really weird experience. Throughout most of those 34, you're knocked up, you're tired in some way. So to go in fully ready to go and excited and energized, that's what throws off your rhythm a little bit. It's not the fact that you're lacking reps, it's just the fact that you're more excited to be there and more energized to be there.
Kalen Carr, I had a conversation with him about this, and he said exactly basically what Bobby was saying, was that you need that rest. The motivation is going to be there. You're going to be sitting there watching games. You're going to want to be out there, but just the opportunity to have more energy to come out when you actually do play, he said players would take that anytime. Yep. Mm-hmm. All day.
Interesting. Jordan Harvey said after they lifted the supporter shield that they know they have to win MLS Cup. We've talked about that a lot on this show. Well, they'll have the opportunity. They got to win 3 games, conference semis, conference finals, and MLS Cup, because they have that bye, and they would have home field advantage throughout. So it would be Bank of California Stadium start to finish. Carlos Vela has 31 goals. If we think that Bob Bradley is going to go for it, logically, I would say we think that Carlos Vela is going to play a big role in this game. I did some math here because a bunch of people were up in the mentions of Extra Time and my own talking about PKs and how that maybe cheapens a little bit Carlos Vela's accomplishment. And I went in and kind of broke it down. So, first of all, nothing can cheapen 46 combined goals and assists in 1 year. The only other player that's even within, I think, within 10 is Sebastian Jovinko, 22-16 in 2015. He was the previous record holder, combined goals and assists. Joseph Martinez, of course, had 31 goals last year. If you look at the, and six assists, so he was close. He had 37. If you look at PKs, Carlos Vela has 31 goals and 9 PKs. He's missed 2 PKs, so he could have already set this record. Joseph had 31 goals last year. He had 8 PKs. So Joseph had 23 non-PK goals. Vela currently has 22. Roy Lassiter, bring that name back, baby, had 24 non-PK goals. That, I believe, is the record for non-PK goals, because Wando had 22 in his record-breaking year, and BWP had 21. Does it matter to anyone at this table that Carlos Vela has 9 PK goals this year? Does it cheapen in any way his accomplishment?
No.
Bobby's raising his hand.
When you have a conversation, if you were to tell me Joseph had 0, then yes. The difference is 1. So no. But there are golden boot races in the world where one player doesn't take penalties for his team for whatever reason, and another one does. That changes it. Bobby, would you like to speak on this matter?
You raised your hand.
No, yeah, for sure. I feel that PKs matter when you talk about the golden boot. PKs are not the same as scoring other goals. You mentioned it. Who took the PKs for the Galaxy those couple years? Robbie Keane or Landon Donovan? Either way, one of them didn't. Having the ability to take PKs is a cheat code and winning the golden boot race.
You probably
for
can't,
that year.
You're right. You
and
probably can't win the Audi golden
boot. You absolutely
boot if you
can't
don't
do it. So I understand.
But the point is, everyone who has won it did take them.
Would that be true if we did not count PKs in the golden boot race? Do you have to take it if you're a striker? Does the team give it to you?
Maybe, but the point is, if everyone's on an equal plane, it doesn't matter.
Also, like, it completely undervalues the PK. It's not like that's like an easy, straightforward thing to do. People are good at taking penalty kicks. Like, there are, I just look at like James Milner on Liverpool. Like, you know,
wow, we got James Milner
listen,
in this show.
That's right. That's
didn't
right.
Realize,
but like, that's a skill that he has. So why are we undermining?
I'll give another golden boot for the most PKs. I'm fine with that too. Let's just hand out multiple golden boots.
I actually like this from Susanna because the perspective is kind of bringing it another level, which is on an incredible team that is LAFC. Carlos Vela is by far and away the best PK taker. Joseph Martinez was by far and away the best PK taker.
That's not always true.
Didn't Almiron go?
Yeah, it's not always true. Sometimes they just demand to take them sometimes.
Well, Joseph,
missed, an alpha
he
dog.
Went 8-9 last year.
Yeah.
So you can, don't tell me he's not a good PK taker.
But that doesn't mean he's better at it than Almiron. Almiron could have gone 9-9. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's not necessarily.
Fight me for it then, Dave.
Exactly. But it's not necessarily a given that the person who is the top goal scorer or the one who takes the penalties is the best penalty kick taker. A lot of times you're just dealing with the personality.
So now I'm feeling like if Bobby tries to wade in here and take the host mic,
yeah,
I'm not going to let him.
That's
fair, not the way
but
it works.
That doesn't mean you're a better host. That just means
whoa,
Bobby's not hosting.
Oh, dang. I
didn't say you weren't. Wow. I'm just saying it's out there.
Oh, I just walked
I understand. I understand why we don't split them for conversation's sake in sports. It would be too messy of a conversation. But you can't tell me that a PK goal takes the same skill and expertise as a regular goal. And if the golden boot
no,
is for the best.
Some.
It takes some, but it's not the same. If we're going to give the golden boot
well,
to the
so
best
we start
goal
to expected
scorer,
goals, golden boots?
I would do that too.
So you would take the guy who has back post tap-ins, he would get less goals than a guy who has scored tougher goals?
I would not.
Oh, weird. But you can't tell
but
me
that,
it's as...
No, don't do this thing. Don't do this false equivocation thing. That is not the same conversation.
By the way, I looked it up. Carlos Vela has won 4 PKs this year. Only Zlatan has won more than that with 5. So Carlos Vela earned 4 of the 11 you would think that he took this year. So that has to count for something as well because that's difficult. That's a skill to earn PKs. Do you want him to break the record or do you want him to end on 31 with Joseph?
I want him to break it. I do. Mostly because I think... I love him as a player, and I think there's just like this like weird part of me that like Joseph wants to keep that record so badly. And not that I have a vendetta against Joseph Martinez, but Carlos Vela is such an unselfish player. Like, look at the amount of assists that he's had all season. For a guy like that to also hold the record, I think is just a testament to his all-around overall quality.
And the beauty is, if he does get 32, Joseph Martinez next year is going to be a marauding
yes!
animal.
And I'm here for that.
He is going to just destroy people. He'll have 37.
You are going to title the show Susanna Collins Beef with Joseph Martinez, right? That's a thing you're going to do?
Look, if I got to do what I got to do, right? Sometimes the clickbait is what works.
Right.
And Susanna, you have to go West Coast for the playoffs because right now Chicago and Atlanta don't want to talk to you.
Chicago dug that hole themselves.
Maybe. Or maybe you came out against Alexander Katai 3 years ago when he was still in Europe.
Never. I have praised Katai bangers for 2 seasons.
By the way, I think Katai is going to be on our All Chaos team, so there'll be more Katai talk coming. Decision number 4 on Decision Day presented by AT&T. Who gets the West home game, a.k.a. who needs it more? Galaxy, RSL, Minnesota, Seattle are trying to fight for this one. Seattle host the Loons. Xavier Arriaga is suspended for this one. 2 yellow cards equals a red. He's out. Houston is hosting the Galaxy. This is DeMarcus Beasley's final game, we think. We hope it is not. We that's what he says. But he's still pulling pranks at training like 2 days before his final game. So
you think Beasley's gonna play for the US indoor national team with Landon Donovan and Jermaine Jones?
I think Jermaine is in Japan right now playing for that team?
I don't know.
Something crazy.
I just love his
just
Instagram.
Check Instagram. Yeah. Boom.
That's where I got it from. Vancouver is hosting RSL. So who needs it most? And how is it anybody other than Real Salt Lake? At least in the first round, Real Salt Lake needs it most because their home record is way better than their road record. As far as long term, I think Minnesota needed the most if they want to make a run.
I would agree with that. Minnesota have only lost once at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They've been better on the road this year.
Yeah, better.
Boo, applause to them. But they still their first go around in the playoffs, it would be much better for them if they could play the first round game. And they would hope the second round game in the conference semis, and maybe even the conference finals if somehow, some way, LAFC gets knocked off. And no Arriaga.
Yeah.
But they're on the road, so they got to win the road to get that.
Weeby just honor. Asked a question and answered it right away.
Yeah.
Did I?
I don't know what
you got
to
nothing
do with
else?
That.
I would just say, yeah, sorry, I don't really have anything super intelligent to say
next,
about any of this.
Next.
They all need it. They all don't. The one would be for the Galaxy. You at least don't want to drop below 5, if this makes sense, because then you play away first round, but you get to come back to LA to play LAFC. Because if they end up in the 6,
Galaxy don't care. The Galaxy don't care about anything. They don't care about
it doesn't matter.
They could get 7th and they wouldn't be fussed.
You don't think they care about playing home or away?
They just lost to the Vancouver Whitecaps at home. These dudes do not care about anything, and they are fine with it, nor should they care, because home or away against anybody in the league, they have an equal chance of winning that game, because that's who the LA Galaxy are.
Fair. I just want them to be in 4th or 5th so they can play LAFC in the conference semis. Here from Wesper Dine, the congestion in the West, we've talked about it, 2 through 8. Are all of these okay to good teams? Are all of them good to very good teams, or are all of them mediocre?
Oh, I had my thing up that I was going to go on this, but basically, if you look at it, all these teams are on 53 points right now in Minnesota and Seattle. LA Galaxy on 51. Let's say none of them pick up points this weekend or they draw. That would put them at 6th in 2018 in the Western Conference. That's where they would be in the standings. So when you look at the teams this year compared to last year, I think you have more teams in the middle, but you don't have as much quality in the top half of the Western Conference. So to answer Wes's question, well, how did he word it? Are these teams more
okay to good?
Okay to good.
Good to very good, yeah. Or basically mediocre?
They're good.
They're just good.
They're good, yeah. But
good has two spectrums there. Good to very good?
Okay, so take last year and you look at Seattle 2nd in the West at the time, LAFC 3rd in the West at the end of the year. Those teams were better than the top, than Seattle has been this year because they had Chad Marshall. And better, and LAFC at 3rd was better than whatever Minnesota's been this year and whatever the LA Galaxy have been this year.
I think that's a fair take, is that the top LAFC is so good that the points got sucked up there. And then the middle is just kind of like, yeah, they're all right. They're good. They're good. They're not mediocre. They're not bad. They're not really good. We'll see what that means in the playoffs. How about this, Bobby? Is this easier for you? Mm-hmm. Who needs the home game in the Eastern Conference? That's decision number 5. One of DC, Red Bulls, or Toronto will get it. Rooney is suspended for DC home against Cincinnati. Better win that one. Might be Nacho Piatti's last game as Montreal hosts the Red Bulls and then Toronto hosts Columbus. Right now, DC on 49. They're in pole position. The odds say that they will get a home game, that 4th spot. Red Bulls 48, Toronto 47. If DC win against Cincinnati at home, they will get it. So you would think they'll probably get it. But they don't have Rooney. That's important.
I do not think that any of those teams need a home game like an RSL or a Minnesota
does. Okay, but let me ask you this question. Do any of those teams need to avoid Philly or Atlanta in the first round? More. That's how I would look at it. Who wants to be sixth the least?
I mean, going to the Benz is not fun. Is there any part of this Atlanta team that you want to avoid right now?
Joseph Martinez, this is a little news for you. He's reportedly running and in training. Doug Roberson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported that, along with Felipe Cardenas and so many others that were at that training. Michael Parkhurst went on the BS the Podcast. It's a great episode. It's a great podcast. Said he thought that Joseph could be available on decision day presented by AT&T, that they might rest him. But he said, my mind was blown. I can't believe this guy's back already. I thought he was done. So it seems like October 19th, because that's when they would play, or the 20th? Yeah, or the 20th? He'd probably be good.
Yeah.
He'd probably be back. He'd have that, you know, the wind behind his back and the spring in his legs.
I would just say, yeah, personally, I think for DC, they need to get fourth, because I don't think they can go on the road as sixth and win. And I don't think they want to go back to Red Bull Arena and have that one swapped. They have played better over the last, I think they're 3-0-1 over their last four, but they still worry me the most on both sides of the ball. Of all three of these teams. So that would be the one that I think, if you lose to FC Cincinnati to close the year out as DC, and you got to go to Red Bull Arena or go to Philly or go to Atlanta, I think you're in trouble.
But they can ugly it up better than the other two teams.
Maybe.
Just saying.
Yeah, they're pretty good at being ugly.
Yeah, they can go on the road and just try to punch you in the mouth.
That's what Chris Armas said. He's like, they brought energy to wasting time. At Red Bull Arena. He's like, it was impressive. It's how they chose to go about the game, but they were good at what they chose to do.
Energy wasting time.
Yep.
That's a good tagline for extra time. Atlanta, New England is another game on decision day presented by AT&T. Probably no Joseph Martinez. We'll see what Atlanta do. They're fighting with Philly to try to get that second seed. Whether that matters or not, we shall see. Philly is hosting NYCFC, who don't really have that much to play for in this match. As
yeah,
I
because
said,
Philly lost to Columbus. I'm sorry, missed Monday's show. Did you guys yell about that for 30 minutes?
Not really, no.
Philly had the opportunity to host NYCFC the final week of the season to win the Eastern Conference, and they lost to Columbus at home. When their game was delayed, they had the knowledge that if they won, that opportunity existed, right? The games didn't happen currently.
It was in Columbus. The game was in Columbus.
Yeah. So what?
I just want to point out that Columbus that Columbus team is 5-4-1 in their last 10. So they're not a horrible team. Everything you said is valid.
I didn't say they were horrible.
Everything you said is
valid. You have something to play for. You have a lot to play for.
A bad loss.
Yeah. On top of the fact that you want first place and get a bye because you've never won a playoff game and all that, also what makes this game a better experience to like host NYCFC on the last game of the season for first place. That's something that as a club that you're trying moments to promote yourself, and they've been fun over the last 2 months. They've filled the stadium, the crowd's behind them. It's been great. That's kind of one of the experiences you need. Also, Bobby Warshaw's coming to your game. You got a chance to bring Bobby Warshaw in for a basically playoff game.
The original Philly Union Homer dupe. Not Homer,
this
but you were in love with
PA class.
You were in love with
I saw what they were capable of.
And
that's
you
all
loved
I want
it.
To say.
And you loved it. Yeah, so now they have to do the honor guard. Do they have to do the honor guard for NYCFC now?
No,
because
you won the East.
I know,
you didn't
just
win.
Kidding. I know.
But I will say, just to add to that, I do not think it matters for the first game. For that second game to play in Philadelphia compared to Atlanta, that is huge. That is a big one.
All right, we shall see what happens. Right now, Atlanta has the tiebreaker on wins. So if Atlanta wins and Philly wins, Atlanta will get this thing. We'll see what happens on Decision Day, presented by AT&T. I believe we have time to do this, so I'm going to make an executive decision and do it. It's our Opta Quiz. How well do you know Major League Soccer this year?
I just wanted to be out there that our producer, Anders, thought we should save this for the future. So if the screen goes black at some point and you hear no noise,
here's what I didn't say. I'm going to be gone for the next three shows for my wedding, and I wanted to do this.
Well, we weren't going to do it over the next three shows.
Well, you might have.
We were going to do it in December.
I couldn't take that chance, and now we're wasting time. Who has the most touches? This is all Opta data that I went and pulled.
Oh, God.
So how well do you know Major League Soccer by the numbers? Who has the most touches and passes in MLS this year?
Michael Bradley.
That is incorrect.
Nico Lodero.
That is incorrect.
Latif Blessing.
That is incorrect.
Maxi Morales.
That is incorrect.
All of those were good guesses.
Is it Edward Atuesta?
Atuesta is second. Who is first?
Can you give us conference?
Eastern Conference. Mm. This is a player who...
Is it Madunyanin?
It is Haris Madunyanin.
Wow.
He has the most completed passes and the most touches.
I don't like this game.
In Major League Soccer this season. He has not missed a single minute for Jim Curtin.
I think we all guessed high touch, high pass, high minute players, though.
Yeah. Carlos Heel is also in the touches top three, and Michael Bradley is third in completed passes.
If he hadn't gone on vacation to Spain, he might be number
one. How about chances created from open play? This might surprise you. We'll talk about him in a second. I can throw that in.
Chances created in open play.
In open play. It's a tie at the top.
Carlos Vela.
Carlos Vela is not the answer.
I just did expected assists today, and it was Carlos Vela.
Carlos Vela is not the answer.
The surprising person after him was Christian Espinoza for chances created.
Christian Espinoza was close, but not in the top three. I will count this down for you.
Alexander, no, because he didn't play enough. Nope. It's absolute, not per 90.
It is absolute. Carlos Heel was third.
Julian Gressel.
Nope. Maxi Morales was second, and you just showed me, Bobby, that Maxi Morales just signed a new DP contract, so congratulations to him and NYCFC for getting that one locked down. Number one or two
Jan
players.
Jan Gregus.
No. We have talked about one of these two players on the show so far.
We talked about all of MLS on this show so far.
How about this?
Diego Valeri.
Yeah.
It's a teammate of Diego Valeri's.
Sebastian Blanco.
And tied with Sebastian Blanco, you'll never guess this one.
Eastern or Western Conference?
Western Conference. Figured he was going to get run out of town after last season.
It's Magnus Eriksson.
It is Magnus Eriksson.
Nice.
Wow.
He was surprisingly high in expected assists.
How about chances created from set plays?
Oh, God.
It's Diego Valeri. I'll just go ahead and give you that one. It's Diego Valeri. Can you guess who the other two might be? Bobby loves one of them.
Yeah, Jack Price is one.
Oh, there it is.
I would have thought he was.
Jack Price.
Is Vela the other one?
He is not. Wayne Rooney is the other one. Mm-hmm. So Wayne Rooney whipping it into Birnbaum and... And Quincy Ameriquois, who we'll talk about in just a second, about his propensity. What is that?
It's a Q, but I couldn't get it right.
That's questionable.
I don't think that's a Q, Dan.
I would not make hand signals anymore. Stop making hand signals right now. How about this? Who had the most big chances missed?
Jazzy Zardes.
No, but he was in the top five.
It's either Dom Dwyer or Nemanja Nikolic.
Nemanja Nikolic is
and then Dan,
third.
And
Joseph Martinez.
Joseph Martinez had the most big chances missed. Huh. So he might have been in a better place in the Audi Golden Boot had he finished more of those. Kai Kamara as well. I'm having trouble here. Yeah, Kai Kamara. How about this? Dribbles completed.
Alexander Katai.
No.
Jesus Ferreira.
No.
Jefferson Savarino.
No.
Darwin Quintero.
No. Carlos Vela is second.
Dribbles completed.
The top one is a teammate of Magnus Eriksson.
Espinoza?
No.
Vaco.
Vaco has the most dribbles completed. He does. And Lucas Rodriguez was in the top three, too, which surprised me greatly. How about this? Tackles one.
Diego Chara
is not, but second place is Jorge Moreira of the Portland Timbers.
Inverted center.
Lots of tackles, which probably means he went in for a lot of tackles. Too.
Yeah, because he was out of position.
That's probably what that
number
means.
One in MLS in tackles one? Is it a defender?
It is not a defender. Mateus Vera, the defensive midfielder for the Houston Dynamo, was third. Another defensive midfielder was first. Who would it be? We have spoken of him on this show as one of the best players in Major League Soccer.
Shouldn't have said that.
Oh,
I got stuck in the middle of that sentence.
Is that strategic pause right there?
It's not Atuesta.
It is not Atuesta, Ozzie but
Alonso?
He plays in LA.
Oh, Jonah.
Jonah.
Yeah.
Wow. Jonah Dos Santos.
He leads the league in tackles one?
Tackles one.
Nuh-uh.
That's what happens when tackles your team
one.
Plays basketball for half the
exactly.
season.
Exactly. How about this? How about duels one? This should be easy. I've said this on the show previously. People who listen, the listeners right now are saying, I know this. I wish I was on the set. He also plays in L.A.
Yeah, is it Zlatan?
It is. What? Duels won?
Just because of aerial balls.
Yeah, Zlatan was there in aerials. Zlatan was second in aerials.
Is it Mark Anthony Kay?
It's not Mark Anthony Kay, but he shares a midfield position with him.
Latif.
Dancing in the locker room, winning duels.
Oh, man, what a dancer.
Yeah. How about this one? We'll just end here because I feel like we're running out of momentum. Who has played every minute this season in Major League Soccer? The goalkeepers are Daniel Vega, Stefan Fry, Brad Guzan, and Vito Manone. Non-goalkeepers, you already know, Madunyanin is there. There are two others that played every single minute so far through 33 games. Of the 2019
MLS action.
MLS season.
Has Miles Robinson missed any games?
He missed I think he missed one or half of one. He's not quite there, but he's almost there.
Jack Elliott
is there.
Whoa, I got one right.
Good job,
hey, Jack Elliott. Two off the union. Madunyan and Elliott. The other one is a former union player.
David Akam.
Oh, no. Come on. He's a former union player.
CJ Sapong.
No, but he was there for aerials. I think he was fourth in aerials. Steve Birnbaum won that
good job,
one.
CJ. Steve Birnbaum's planning my vacation in Africa.
What?
Oh, yeah, he went on his honeymoon there.
Yeah. My girlfriend really liked it on Instagram. I told him about it. He goes, let me know. I'll send you the details.
Oh, cool.
Like, that's... I can afford Steve Birnbaum's vacation. Yeah.
Say, Steve, you're a TAM player, bro. I'm not quite a TAM status.
Keegan Rosenberry.
Keegan Rosenberry. Great job. Okay, let's talk about the
I forgot
Men's
we were still doing
team.
I know.
Yeah,
Bobby, though.
Yeah, good
hey,
job.
Hey, we're good
see,
on minutes.
That's what I do. I have focus longer, and I pull out the win at the end.
That's why you played a professional sport.
U.S. Men's National Team plays Cuba in D.C. at Audi Field, the home of Steve Birnbaum. On the 11th, and then they play against Canada at BMO Field on the 15th. Herdman says it's time we beat our rivals. It's been a long time. 26 players were called by Greg Berhalter. 18 of those are from Major League Soccer. There are a number of injured players, you know, Jonathan Brooks, Tyler Adams, and the like from Europe that were not able to make this trip. There is no Serginho Dest, which is freaking people out. And Dest said after Ajax's Champions League game that he's just holding off for now. He's just trying to figure it out. Just give me a little time, he said. Holland wants him. The Dutch are sniffing around.
I'm very confused by the whole Dest situation because if he doesn't want to play, if it's not like a thing that he feels like I want to play for the U.S. like is that a problem?
Yeah, look, he's got a decision to make.
Yeah, it's fine. Serginho Dest allowed to do whatever he wants to do because he's an adult who wants to play for both teams.
But if he doesn't want to play, then it's like
I think he might want to play, but it's like you know if you had
he wants to play for both teams. He can't. I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's a probably.
And I think most people who have a foot in two camps could understand that emotion, right? It's like, yeah, you want to represent both of these things, you can't do it. And he's 19 years old and now has to make the decision, which would have been
incapable.
Put
your big boy pants on and make a decision. That's all I'm saying.
He will, I think. But now I'm thinking about if I'm Serginho Dest and I'm at Ajax and I live in the Netherlands and I was born there and my mom is Dutch and I go into Ajax training, I'm like, hey guys, pick the U.S. Could get awkward.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, but he probably grew up with a lot of players that he wants to play with in the future that he could for the Dutch. Also, orange is a sweet color, and they have really good fans, so he's got that going for him too. I wanted to throw out real quick, if anyone out there is a Canada fan, please let us know if you actually think the U.S. is your rival. Because I've actually never heard that before. I would believe it if you were to ask me in a vacuum right now who I think Canada fans would want to beat the most, I would say Honduras. But I could be wrong, so I would like to know what they think.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about rivalries on this show all the time, and often we say, you know, you got to beat your rival.
Right, and on the women's side, 100%.
Yeah.
Canada-U.S. is the rivalry, not just in the region, arguably in the world. On the women's side, and I guess in other sports as well, like hockey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about hockey.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
I feel as Susanna may know more about hockey than I do, for sure. Blackhawks? No? I was going to say Chicago.
Hawks.
That's a hockey town.
Come on.
Hey, it's a hockey town.
Hockey town.
How about this? We're going to go through some questions from folks out there on Twitter because we've talked so much about the U.S. and about Berhalter and his roster choices over the last 4 or 5 months. It's just exhausting.
I will say this while you're getting married at some point, and maybe I'll be on a show. The USA-Canada game has the potential to be one of the best games the U.S. has played in the last 2 years. Maybe outside of the Gold Cup final. Canada needs this win. It means everything for them to try and get into the hex, as well as John Herdman said, we need to change the perception of our program. They're hosting in Toronto at BMO. It's the only competitive real game U.S. has because Cuba's had 4 more defections since the 5 from Gold Cup, so they're a pretty injured squad. So that game's going to be awesome, and I'm pretty excited for it.
We do have some questions that we will save for next week, probably on Thursday or Monday, maybe even. Brent Craswell asks, what does a joint Canada national team and U.S. national team 11 look like based on the rosters for this window? So if you want to send us yours, feel free to do so. We'll read it on the show, or I guess you guys will because I'll be gone. And then BJ from Boston asked about how our fullbacks and D-mids, the U.S.'s, are going to handle the very talented Canadian wingers and wingbacks. And I'll let Bobby and Matt and Susanna and Kaylin and Dave or whoever's around handle that because I will not be here. Trapinzardis again says AZ Martinez. Are we missing something? You're just missing that Greg Berhalter rates these guys and thinks that they should be in camp. That's really the long and the short of that one. Robin Noblin says, should we make much of Pulisic being listed as a midfielder as opposed to the forward he was in the last camp? Does that mean he's more of a 10 than a wide forward? Maybe he plays underneath Jozy Altidore? Like, kind of underneath Jozy?
Yeah, that's what he had him do at times in the Gold Cup, because he felt like with the freedom to float to either wing, he would find better 1v1 situations than if he was stationed out on one wing and the other team could start to game plan for him. You saw it at times, but not enough. And I think the reality of it is, if he's constantly on the wing, he's going to get more opportunities than if he has to find them at some point going out to either one of those sides. So I don't think this means anything. We've had the listed as with the Tyler Adams conversation a lot. I don't think it means anything, because he doesn't have to.
That means more in that situation, I think.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, agreed. But I don't think this means anything.
Okay, we had a bunch of people asking about Richie Ledesma and Alex Mendez, who we presume and hasn't come out yet will be with the U23s. Why are they in over Roldan, et cetera, et cetera? Look, I get why people love those two players. They have a ton of talent. We saw them in the U20 World Cup. We're seeing them now in the second league in the Eredivisie. But, like, Christian Roldan is 150 professional games. He's won championships. He's played 12,000 minutes minimum as a pro.
He won a Gold Cup.
There's a reason why he would be there right now. There's just a reason. It's not like, just let these guys do their thing with the U23s. Like, don't think that.
The person that said this is, sorry, I'm anonymous. They are anonymous on Twitter.
Yeah.
Can we just make a rule that we don't put anonymous accounts in the show?
Yeah, for sure. And look, if it's not really Roldan, it's probably Brendan Aaronson, who's 18-year-old and got called in the team that you should maybe do this comparison with. Reports were that Aaronson killed it at the last U23 camp. You saw that little through ball and turn in the midfield that created a goal with Mason Toy.
Where's Mason Toy?
No Mason Toy. No Paxton Pomykal either. You would think probably with the U23s. We just don't have that roster yet. So how do we feel about Aaronson getting this call up?
We feel that players who play professional soccer should be picked for the national team over players who play with amateurs or on reserve teams.
I don't always agree with that. I just
name the one you disagree on.
I just don't have a huge problem with this. Like, if they saw him at the 23s and he did really well and he was a standout of the camp, and we know he's not going to be like a, you know, this is an opportunity to like blood him a little bit. And both these games, by the way, are very close to where Brendan Aaronson lives.
You'd have also to, he plays professional soccer.
That's fair. Want to say
the U.S. national team is a collection of professional soccer players, except for when Jordan Morris.
I mean, Ledesma and Mendez get paid to play professional. They get paid to play soccer, so they're professional soccer players. It's just at a different level. There was an interesting comparison here by Matthew DeGeorge on Twitter. At age 18 seasons, Aaronson's played more minutes than Will Trapp did at age 20, more minutes than Roldan did at 19, way more than Paxton Pomykal, just a tad less than Tyler Adams, who had about 1,900 minutes at age 18 for the Red Bulls. He's got 3 goals, 2 assists. You know, Kellen Acosta, better than that. I mean, he's having a good 18-year-old season. So we'll get to more later on the U.S. national team. Today's not that day.
Can I just give an opinion about an opinion?
Yeah, go for it.
Real quick. And I think this is important for people to hear. It's okay not to have an opinion on it. It's okay to think that maybe it would be cool if Mendez and Ledesma were there.
Yeah.
It's okay to just watch it play out. I personally am just ready to watch it play out. If they'd be there, it'd be great. The fact that they're not doesn't make me angry. I don't think it hurts their development personally. I think it's also risky to send somebody playing in the second Dutch league to that and putting them in a new environment and seeing how there's risk to everything. It's okay to just say, I'm going to watch how this plays out and enjoy the national team right now. So don't feel like you have to get caught up in everything else.
Amen, Bobby.
Yeah. Wow. God.
That's because Bobby yelled about it for 2 days before.
I know.
No, it's for sure. And I worked because the reason I say that, David, is I felt a need to have an opinion on it. Partially, it's my job, and it's just the atmosphere and culture we're in. It's, oh my God, how do I feel about Ledesma and Mendez? And the truth is, I would have enjoyed watching them. I'm not mad that they're not. You guys made great points, right? Their teams would lose to the Seattle Sounders. I don't think either of them would be as good in Major League Soccer as Christian Roldan or perhaps even Brendan Aaronson, but there's also promise there, and you want to harness that promise and potential. So I'm okay either way. I personally, as a fan, even as an analyst, am willing to say, I'm just excited to see what happens either way.
And look, the U23s, that's not like backwater bumpkin zone. That's a team that's preparing for potentially the Olympics. That's important. Those guys could be huge there. We have 6 minutes, according to producer Anders, who's hurrying me along here. So we will skip a couple little things, and we'll go straight to Toodle Ramen, who says, buy or sell on the teams that are eliminated this year to make the playoffs next year. So you're buying or selling. I will send you a team. You will buy or sell on their playoffs in 2020. Susanna had to do it. Had to do it to you. Chicago Fire, are you buying or selling playoffs in 2020?
Well, before Bobblehead Gate, I well, would.
Would it be Bobblehead Gate or was this Bobblegate?
I like Bobblehead Gate.
Okay.
Bobblehead Gate.
Stick with
what you got. Bobblehead Gate.
We could just, let's go hardcore and just make this Gate Gate.
And Gate Gate. No, I'm selling. Sorry.
Ooh.
Sorry, guys. And yes, I'm spiteful. So. Yeah. So
what is your, give me your Twitter 280 character version of why you're selling.
Because I didn't send her a bobble.
because the Chicago Fire failed to send me a bobblehead. No, it's exactly right. No, I just, I don't know. It's hard because they're going to be, you know, they've got this new ownership group coming in. They're going to be playing at Soldier Field. I just feel like there's a lot of transition happening unless they go out and sign some incredible DP or like, I don't really see. I feel like this is going to be like a real rebuild for the Chicago Fire.
Unless they bring in Lewandowski.
Yeah, Reggie Lewandowski is available.
That could change things a little bit.
Javier Lewandowski.
Nemanja Nikolic to Lewandowski.
A little bit.
That could change your opinion. But as it stands right now, you're selling on them. I am also going to sell on FC Cincinnati. I know.
This is my shocked face.
Going out on a limb there. They got another year of rebuild in front of them, and next year will not be a playoff season, in my opinion, for FC Cincinnati. How about the Montreal Impact, Dave? And they're starting to do their rebuild. They have a new sporting director.
I'm going to sell on the Montreal Impact. They're going to lose Nacho Piatti, most likely. If not, I'd love him as a player, but how many games are you going to get from him? If you bring him back, I think there's a lot of pieces that I like about Montreal, but I don't know that they'll heavily improve from this year to next year. And you bring in Inter Miami, which I think is a better team coming in that's not going to fall down at the bottom like FC Cincinnati did this year.
All right.
Oh, that's interesting. So there's 7 playoff teams still, but one extra team in each conference to take it.
Yeah.
I had not thought of that.
Interesting.
The question is, what happens with Nashville? I had thought I read that Ian Ayre said they were going to go into the East, or did he say they were going to the West? Golly, man. I read a lot of things. We'll figure that one out. But Columbus Crew, Bobby, what do you think? In or out? You dropped the 5-4-1 stat. They've improved lately.
You got to go in.
Do I?
Yeah.
Why?
One of these teams has to go in.
No, they don't. You just said that.
That's
sure.
True. Inter Miami could take it.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at it objectively, DC United is probably going to fall off somewhat next year.
The Red Bulls seems like
and the
they
Crew
could,
are going to get Milton Valenzuela.
Red Bulls could be a faller.
Okay,
too.
If I had to buy or sell, I would buy, but I don't feel great about it.
Also, okay, let me sell you on buying it.
Okay.
Tim Bezbachenko came in late in the process, didn't have a chance to build out from a full window, and Caleb Porter had never worked with him before. Now you go into an offseason with wealthy ownership from the NFL. That is their first toe in the water. They're about to build a stadium, so they're building towards something. Tim Bezbachenko had an opportunity to build the organization top down and start to look at what their targets are and how they're spending.
Okay, I'll buy.
Boom. All right.
Sold him on the buy.
Sold.
Orlando City, Susanna.
Oh God!
They've got the number 10 who should be healthy, Mauricio Pereira.
Yeah. I'm gonna buy. I'm gonna buy. I'm an optimist, and I really, really want
first ever playoffs. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Orlando City fans. She picked Minnesota.
Yeah. And you picked Orlando. It's just a gut. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I just want it. I want it to happen. I want it for Orlando.
We're going to see somebody drop out then for sure. And Inter Miami might not make it, but I'm with you. I like it. I like Orlando City. They're Sporting KC for me.
They played well this year
at
times. They
did better.
There was times. There were moments.
Exactly.
Something to build on.
I hit that buy button for Sporting Kansas City because I think they will also buy. And maybe I'm reading too much into Peter Vermes' recent comments that they acknowledge they need more quality, that they need goal scorers, they need something consistent up top, because had they had that this year, they, I believe, in this Western Conference, as we said, good, not great, would have been in the playoffs. They didn't have it, so they didn't make it.
First game of the season, 2020, starting center backs for Sporting KC. Are either of them on the roster right now?
Fontas has a guaranteed contract through like 2022, so I don't know how they're going to get rid of him.
So you think next year, first game, Fontas and maybe Beasley are the starting.
Can I do this? I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'll buy up all your stock for Fontas starting, if not a defender of the year candidate.
Whoa.
I'll buy up all. Not because it's going to happen, but that's some cheap stock. And this dude
He's shorting the market.
Dude does have a exponentially better resume than his play. So I will take
Houston,
that up all off
Houston
you.
Dynamo, Dave.
I'm going to sell. Do I have to give reasoning?
Yeah, just a quick one.
I assume they'll sell Minotis.
That's fine. I'm going to sell on the Whitecaps.
I think they're going to sell Minotis. I don't think they have an answer for Elise, which makes him frustrated, and I don't see them heavily investing in the other spots they need.
Okay, Anders is in my ear saying we have to get out of here, and I'm saying now that I'm going to ignore him.
Nice.
So one more from Mike Donovan. I'd love to see a new Who Best 11 for MLS players that can make you laugh and cry at the same time. Players you don't want to look away from because you might miss something outrageous, negative or positive, and we will start at left back where new Who is our left back, obviously. How about just to start throwing it around? What you got here?
Lauren Simon's an obvious one.
Aurelien Collin is an even more obvious one.
Although Bobby will say he knows what's going to happen. It's just planned chaos. Central midfield, we put in Felipe Martins, which is a clear one as well. For good, though, I'd like to put in Wong and Bomb because he's a baller and I love watching him play. And every time I watch him play, my eyes pop.
But
you said good or bad?
Laugh and cry. What makes you? I guess the results.
It makes me cry because he's so happy.
Oh.
Wow, that happened. Right,
yeah. As soon as she started it, I was all in on it. Roger Espinoza, I'm going to throw in at central midfield because he'll make you laugh and he'll certainly make you and or others playing against him cry.
I have one for forward. Can I skip to forward? I was at the Red Bull DC game this weekend, sitting on the sideline, getting ready to do my post-game interview, so I was getting in my mindset. Quincy Maracroix comes off the bench in a game in which DC's trying to get the 0-0 tie out of. They put him up top. He comes over to the near sideline, and someone's marking him, and he puts his hand up. Bill Hamid's taking a goal kick, and he yells, "Put it on my head, it's a free ball," and looks at the guy who's marking him. And I laughed out loud. God. I was like, Quincy, and he won the header, and you could see he kept looking over at the guy, too. And it was like, Quincy started this mind game an hour ago when no one else knew they were involved, and he's playing
an hour?
It's pure entertainment.
Yeah. It's not an hour ago. Quincy's always playing the mind games. He was thinking about that mind game like the whole week leading up. He's like, first goal kick, I'm getting in this guy's
head. I'm in your head. Yeah. I'm in your head.
Let's go. If you see it on YouTube, I'm pulling back the bow and firing because Maxi Arruti is in our chaos new Who Best 11.
That's a good one.
Uh-huh. Because he'll shoot from literally anywhere. And he will
shoot.
He will run down the field with
the
man.
And sometimes the results are
We were there for the Houston FC Dallas game where he hit it like blind top corner.
That was Tesho.
Was it Tesho?
Yeah, I think that was Tesho.
No way.
Because you, I remember you saying, yeah, Tesho will do that once a year.
Oh, no way. I got to go back and find that.
What about Katai?
Ooh, yes.
Because that's another one we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. He will make you laugh, and he will certainly make you cry there. I have Demir Krylock in this group.
Yeah.
Because he gets some weird.
They both scored in that game.
Yeah. Oh, they both did?
Yeah.
I bet you the Arruti one's the crazy one.
No, it's Tesho.
Really? Latif Blessing is in this group as well. Kendall Waston is definitely in this group. Yeah, dunks it and then crazy red cards.
If you needed an MVP of this group, did you already say David?
No, I haven't. But yeah, if we needed an MVP, we'd go David Akam.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
If you're a facial expression guy, Anton Tennerholm.
Also, I swear, I would like to do a poll this offseason. I think that opponents are most irritated in MLS by Anton Tennerholm.
Have you listened to the BS podcast?
Yeah, I have. And Sal Zizzo is spot. I don't think Sal Zizzo's ever played against him, and he's spot on.
Yeah, he's all about this. I really hope they get him on that podcast. It's great. It's great. I was crying. And you spend a lot of time with Mike Grella. I was literally at home yesterday
so good.
Watching Liverpool-Salzburg as he's talking about Berhalter versus Marsh, and I was actually crying because Grella is... We should get him on this show, actually. He lives in the area. We could probably pay for him to come in, buy him a prosciutto and mozzarella.
You got to get him in a car, though. The guy's not taking the train.
No, for sure not.
He's not an LIR hard out.
No, not at all. We got Vega, goalkeeper.
They both scored pretty crazy goals in this game.
Yeah. Was the Arruti one the one I thought it was?
Maybe. Arruti's one is definitely on. Is it Tyler Derrick at the time?
I believe that's across his body.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Alexander Mitrice is in here. Zlatan is obviously the captain and leader of this team.
Yeah, he's a big part of that.
Kai Kamara's got a shout, too. All right, that's it for us. Sorry, Anders, for pushing this one. Decision Day, presented by AT&T, Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, all the games. ESPN has Portland, San Jose. They also have the other broadcasts on ESPN+. You should have that because their whip-around show, also presented by AT&T, is there. So you have Dunny, you have Ale Moreno, you have Adrian Healy, taking you to all the goals, all the actions, updating you. Also, pregame show, Match Day Central, presented by AT&T. But no, it's not. It's in the AT&T MLS studios. Anyway, AT&T is doing a lot to help us out with this. 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern, MLS channels. Myself, Kalen, Charlie, Doyle, Jimmy Conrad. Priority draft is then. You guys are all over the country doing your thing. We have the postgame show at 6:30. Anything to add?
Here's my bold prediction. After the 80th minute, there'll be a moment when the Colorado Rapids are in the playoffs, and they will not make the playoffs.
Oh, gut punch.
Based on the way last week went down.
A terrible way to end this show.
It is going to be bonkers.
Yes, it is. We'll see you then, and then the playoffs will be set, and then we'll do that. All right. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Adios.